Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its Rain Rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. We have to talk about Kramnik lawsuit.
So we can also get sued, or what?
No, come on, we're not going to get sued. Hopefully we're not going to get sued.
The World Rapid Blitz Team World, they call it World Championship.
Oh, I don't have one as well.
I don't consider it a World Championship. You're done with the tournament, still want to play and you want to beat your opponent because they're lower rated. And then you end up playing like an atrocious game.
Mm-hmm. Number one in India, number four in the world right now.
He's had the best year of any player so far, winning three events. Nobody else has done that. I would say definitely this year the best. Of course, it's a short time period, but definitely the best player this year so far. I don't think it's too controversial.
All right, Fabi. Here we go. Back to Croatia. Back to another C-Squared podcast episode. It's been a while. It actually has been probably our longest absence or something along those lines because you are on a vacation. First vacation in a long time, was that it?
Yeah, I don't normally take vacations, but I took like 3 weeks vacation.
How was that?
It was nice.
How did you enjoy it? What did you do in your vacation? Did you go to the beach?
A few times, yeah.
Very nice, very nice. You didn't get too much color.
I didn't.
Not that much. Hmm. I was expecting you red lobster.
No, I don't get burned. I got a tan. You can actually kind of see it if you like. See.
I see a little bit.
Yeah, you see the top of my head is a bit more white.
You also got a haircut.
I did get a haircut.
That's very nice. Yeah. Looks good.
You didn't get a haircut.
I did get a haircut. Just on the sides.
On the sides. We're only doing the sides now.
I'm trying new styles. I don't know if... my wife says it makes me look younger.
To have more hair.
Longer hair, yes.
To have longer hair.
Yes, yes. You cannot see the grays that well. Because I have grays.
Yeah, me too.
You cannot see the grays.
You can kind of see it on the top. If you like look straight down.
Yeah.
Like a bird. Then you can see a lot of gray. It's actually disturbing. I saw it recently, a top-down perspective.
How did you see the top-down perspective?
Do you don't want to know?
Of you. You see your own top-down perspective.
Yeah. It's like an out-of-body experience.
No, that's interesting. I'm actually kind of curious how that happened.
Yeah, and it was very disturbing. I was like, oh my God, what's going on here? It's so gray up there.
Did you decide to cut it at that point?
I was going to get it cut anyway. It was too long.
I was on a vacation also. I went to the Keys for the first time. Florida Keys. Mm-hmm. Have you been there?
I don't think so.
It's nice.
Maybe as a kid.
I liked it. It's interesting. It's not the same as, let's say, the Caribbeans. Like, mm-hmm. I still prefer the Caribbeans, any of the islands. But it's close to the Caribbeans with an American flair, I guess. Everybody, you know. Speaks English and whatnot. Like it's you can still feel like
you're
in the US.
If you go to Aruba or somewhere like that, of course, they all speak English anyway.
More or less, yes. U.S. Virgin Islands, for example. But still doesn't feel particularly like the U.S. The Keys do have a Caribbean flair, but they do feel still like the U.S. In the restaurants, pretty much the service and everything in between. But yeah, that was fun. I was trying to get some tan also. I was trying to... Yeah, I think it's the last vacation I will take in a long time. That's that. Cool. I wanted to ask you something else, but I don't remember it right now. I will remember it along the way. But here we go. Croatia, GCT, I would say probably the strongest field in this year's GCT, at least up to this point.
Definitely.
So we have Magnus, yourself, Gukesh, Prague, Wesley. Who else is there? Nodirbek, six,
Gukesh?
Seven.
Did you say Gukesh?
I said Gukesh.
Prague? Did you say Prague?
I said Prague.
Maxime,
eight.
Is Maxime playing though?
I think so. Yes, yes, yes. Actually, I have the list in front of me.
Wesley?
Let me check.
Did you say Wesley?
Wesley, that's nine. And 10 is Saric. The wild card, Saric.
Even Saric. The wild cards are Magnus, Anish, and Saric.
Ridiculous.
Well, yeah, of course. Magnus makes it stronger, clearly. I mean, Anish is also a good addition to make it even stronger.
Yes.
And Saric is a pretty, I mean, he's experienced. He's a pretty capable wild card as well. I would say similar level to Dejak. Similar, maybe, traditionally, maybe a bit lower rated, but not too much.
He did really well. I remember when he teamed up with Gary, and he kind of covered for Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Gary didn't finish too well.
But he did well. Like Saric,
he did
well.
He did like plus
well.
Two or maybe, or plus one, something like that.
In the rapid portion.
It reminds me of this time that Bakro played in Paris, and he did it like plus two or plus something really good. And then Kramnik is his like partner. Yeah, so they share the same score. And Kramnik in Blitz, not the best result ever. I think it was a tremendous minus. And I was just thinking, poor Etienne. He has a great tournament, and then he gets last place. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah. No, I remember.
But yeah, it's the same
with Saric, more or less.
Yeah, like it probably feels bad. You have a good tournament, then you're like, oh, I still got last place because.
and the price difference is obviously quite important, right?
Yeah,
right.
It's
substantial.
It's a bit. Yeah.
So this one, in comparison, I would say with Poland, is not even close.
No, Poland had a much weaker field. I mean, the absence of Magnus, but also like Veselin is not a really active player these days. He's a great player, a great world champion, but he did weaken the field.
Yeah.
And Gavrilescu was playing. We've talked about this. I mean, he's a good player, but he's obviously a serious underdog. And here, there's no real underdog. I mean, Saric a bit, right? But that's about it. Mm. Everyone else is just a top player.
Yeah. Yeah, if you compare the wild cards, obviously. Gavrilescu, you have Magnus, you have Anish, you have Topalov, you have Saric. In that one, I'm trying to remember who was the wild card.
I mean, there was Dejak.
Dejak. Okay, so we have two Romanians.
I consider like Dejak, Saric, like they're
similar.
They're dangerous players. They're not going to have a bad score.
Similar.
They might score 12 points, for example. They might score 15 points. They might score 18 points. But they're not going to like score 3.5 or 5 points or something like that.
Yeah. No,
it's
the big
it's
difference,
not going to be a disaster.
The big difference is between the two wild cards, Magnus Anish versus Gavrilescu and Topalov.
Yeah, everything else is about the same, right?
Yeah. Similar. We had Alireza in this one. I think we have...
Alireza didn't do well in that one, though. I mean, he had a pretty bad result.
But he's a good
opponent. Okay, Alireza is Alireza. We understand. He's a
great opponent.
He's a favorite. Isn't he playing this, though?
Let me check. I don't think he is.
I think cause, he...
Because we just...
No, he's playing
this.
He's here.
I saw
was like, wait a minute. He's not playing St. Louis, which is a bit unusual for him because he does like playing in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So he's not playing that one.
So it's Magnus, just to reiterate, Magnus, Gukesh, you, Avsatorov, Prague, Alireza, Wesley, Duda, Anish, and...
The only possible way to make it stronger is to replace Saric with Hikaru or Levon.
Yeah.
Levon's also a tour participant, but he's not playing this one. He played Poland.
3 weeks vacation. That's a long vacation. Did you do any chess?
Did
you?
Play I did hard? Actually. Yeah,
you did.
I did some work.
Yeah,
I did.
Work. Yeah,
I did. I would say like average 2 hours a day. Maybe
that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
So you didn't completely unplug.
No. I'd get bored too if I just did nothing.
Did you follow U.S. chess? U.S. Uzbek chess.
Oh, you said
UZ.
UZ. It was like U.S. chess.
UZ chess. Yeah.
I mean, there was lots. There was Karen's Cup. There was the U.S. chess was a big one. I did follow that, of course. That was very interesting. The World Rapid Blitz Team World. They call it World Championship.
That one happened as well.
I don't consider it a World Championship, with all due respect to it. But it's a fun event. It is a very strong event. I just think it's not a World Championship, but it was still something I followed. And then, like. Some random online events I did follow as well.
Yeah, that was the big one, London. Then it was UZ Chess, which was actually quite exciting.
Some good event.
Really sharp games.
It was a really fighting event. Prague won.
He came from behind because he lost, I think,
two in a row.
Five and six, two in a row, and then he came back.
Or was it six and seven?
Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, he lost two in a row, including a really nice game against Richie.
And you remember any of that? Any details on that one?
The game against Richie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very excellent game. I mean, knight takes d5, nice sacrifice. Definitely preparation, but still very nice. And then the rest of the game was really, really clean as well. I mean, I actually thought, because he started thinking, I was like checking the line while he was playing. So it's like, as soon as basically they play a6 in the opening, it's like clear that the line will be knight takes d5, unless someone forgets something, because it's they both prepared the line. They both knew about knight takes d5. I don't know exactly at which point they were like on their own. Richie was thinking about knight takes d5, but definitely he knew it. And Prague, I saw his expression was like kind of disappointed when he took on the whole idea is, I hope my opponent doesn't know this. Mm. Once they know it, it's pretty. Yeah, I think that the opening preparation didn't work out for Prague in that game. But what can you do? It happens sometimes. He also faced someone who was basically at the top of his game at that day. You know, Richie was having a bad tournament, but then he finished really well. And somehow Prague recovered from that. Won two games, including last round win against Noderbeck.
I think Arjun 8th and then Noderbeck 9th.
Yeah, Arjun... what was the game against Arjun? Oh, yeah, Arjun, it was this, like, c4, g6, and then Arjun just, like, rushed in. I don't know why he was playing carelessly, but he was just rushing some important decisions, going straight for a bad position. But Prague played really well. For Arjun, that's the reason he didn't win the tournament, basically, that game. Mm. And for Noderbeck, last round, he shouldn't lose with white. You know, it's
overall, he had a good event as well. Noderbeck, I think he was overall he was leading most of the tournament.
But not. Just, it's a painful last round loss, you know?
Yeah.
And then the tiebreaks, I mean, Sindarov had a really good tournament, +2, not I wouldn't say a breakthrough event, but...
Sindarov beat Noderbeck at some point.
No, Yakubov beat Noderbeck.
Yakubov, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sindarov, I think he won his first round and against Nepo, against Jan.
Yeah.
First round with Black against Jan, and then he won some other game. I can't quite remember which one, and then he coasted a bit at the end. He beat Aravind. From a dangerous position, King's Indian, Aravind was black. Sindarov beat him. That was a very back-and-forth game. Aravind had a disastrous event. -4.
We just talked about Aravind in our last one. He was going through the ranks, up through the ranks, and now he lost, like, 25 rating. Still 27-24.
Sure.
Or something
still,
along
I mean,
lines.
Still very good rating, but that was a pretty rough event for him.
Rough event for Nepo also.
Yeah,
he lost 15, I think.
He lost his first round and his last round. His
that
last round
to 15 rating points? Holy smokes.
I mean, it was a tournament where there were a bunch of 26-50 players, too.
Yeah.
Yakubov.
So you lose on draws also.
Vokidov, Shamsidin. So first round loss was not a good game, I have to say, from Jan. It was a pretty poor game. Last round loss was inexplicable. Like, I understand he lost motivation. Actually, I mean, can't say I've had, like, similar last round loss against... Max Warmerdam is here. It's like you're done with the tournament, but then you still want to play and you want to beat your opponent because they're lower rated, and then you end up playing like an atrocious game. Mm. Jan played such an atrocious last round game, so that was not a good finish from him.
He's sort of in a dangerous position right now because he's out of top 10, the invitations are slowing down, which is obviously not a good thing for a professional player. So he needs to. He needs to step back up. Because, obviously, Jan is young. Jan is one of the top elite players of the world. He has been for a while. He
sure.
just has
yeah,
these lapses, I guess, of focus or motivation, maybe. Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Jan is a top player. He's a great player. He often shows great results. He won Aeroflot. He tied for first in the World Rapid Blitz with Magnus. Those are significant achievements in the last half year.
Yeah.
But you can drop classical rating quickly. It happens pretty quickly. And then it's hard to get back. It's not like Blitz. You lose Blitz rating, you get it back. You lose it, you get it back, right? Classical is hard to get back because you have to win. Like, I'm still suffering from Vikings A.
But you got back a lot.
A little bit, yeah. But I got back like 8 points. You know, it's like...
That's a lot.
Such a, yeah, but such a slow process,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I lost, I don't know, 20-something in Vikings A. Get back 8, I mean, you know, it's such a slow process.
How many did you get in Romania?
1 point.
1 point in Romania?
I think
Romania.
I got like 7 in Norway or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Plus one in Norway.
Yeah, that's
plus one in Romania didn't give me anything.
How did you recover? I'm trying to remember. Your big slump came in 2022 at the Olympiad. You dropped all the way to like 2750 or something.
Yeah, like last half of candidates, then Olympiad, I lost 18 points, I think.
Yeah.
I at some point dropped to 2758. My lowest since like a decade.
Yeah.
And I had a reasonable Singfield Cup.
Yeah.
+1.
Yeah.
And US Championship gained a bit. It was like a slow...
But it came back. You had a big event after that. Like, you didn't have any bad events after that for a while.
I think 2023 is where I regained my rating.
Uh-huh.
2022, I had like a U.S. championship. I won, but it was
sort of stabilized first.
Yeah. Yeah, plus four, I gained a bit of rating. Singfield Cup plus one, the famous Magnus leaving Singfield Cup. I scored plus one. I didn't win, but gained a bit of rating. Even though I didn't play Magnus in that one. Obviously, he left before he played me. But then 2023, I had like really, really solid Norway chess.
Mm.
Bucharest World Cup, gained rating. Mm. U.S. championship, gained a lot of rating. I got back to 2800.
Slow grind.
That's a very slow grind.
And if you can actually make it. And you lose them fast. Yeah. If you can actually make it, then that's a very good point. Prague, we have talked about him. I mean, he's been winning pretty much every single event that he's playing in. Maybe every event that he's playing in this year.
He has won three events.
He played Todd Steele. He won.
He has won three events by tiebreak. Yeah, so he's won three tiebreaks. One against Gukesh, one in a three-way tiebreak, and again in a three-way tiebreak.
Yeah, that's
different format, three-way tiebreak, but
that's impressive.
Very close tiebreak, by the way. Sindarov just had to draw his game and win the tournament, and it was a rook end game where Sindarov had more time, and it was objectively a draw, and it all just fell apart in a matter of seconds. Okay, it splits. It happens, right?
That tells me.
But yeah, Prague won three tournaments.
His mental capacity. I mean, he's extremely good psychologically. It seems like right now he's riding a wave. It just feels like through sheer power he overpowers people in these tiebreaks, like psychologically.
I think he's fighting really well in tiebreaks.
Yeah.
You know, you keep fighting and they're close tiebreaks, but he won this match against Gukesh in night endgame. Very close last tiebreak game. I think he was down a pawn.
Yeah, he was down a pawn. He was fighting for a draw, and then he won.
Yeah, it's all fighting abilities in the last few seconds, but he's very good at that, obviously. I think he's improved in Rapid and Blitz.
Yeah.
Definitely, because he was struggling a bit, but and in Classical, he's at his best shape. This year, he's had
number one in India, number four in the world right now.
He's had the best year of any player so far, winning three events. Nobody else has done that. Definitely, I would say definitely this year the best. Of course, it's a short time period, but definitely the best player this year so far. I don't think it's too controversial.
Yeah.
In three events, nobody else has done it. So,
yeah.
Still a lot of Euro to go. He'll definitely qualify for the candidates.
That's a big one, yeah.
I don't see anyone catching him.
Although,
wait. Actually, I'm not sure because, like, you have seven events.
No, he's far ahead. He's far ahead. It's going to be very difficult to catch him.
Yeah, but the question is how many... Like, does he already have to start replacing his events? Because he has to play two opens.
I think he is, yeah. He is replacing his events.
Okay, he has probably three big performances, and then he got second somewhere, so probably four tournaments he won't replace. Then he plays two opens. It's not a guarantee. I think he has very good chances. Mm. I shouldn't say definitely, though. When I think about it, it's not a guarantee.
Mm.
Last year, you know, I also came from behind at some point. Noderbeck has a chance. I don't know about anyone else, but let's give Prague like a significant chance, 85%, let's say, to make candidates again.
Yeah, he's looking good, definitely, right now. And he's only 19. I just checked his age recently. It feels like he's been around for so long. It feels like he's already in like his early 20s, mid-20s, but he's only 19.
Mid-20s.
Feels like that.
We know the name, but...
He's been around for a while.
We know the name, of course. He's been around for a while, but...
For me, it feels like, Prague, he's like 22, 23.
No. Things happen very fast, yeah.
He's 19, yeah.
Yeah, same with Gukesh, right? He's already played top events for so long.
18, yeah.
And he's maybe 19 now? No, maybe 19?
I want to say he's 18.
No. I think didn't he celebrate his birthday during Norway? 19th
yeah, was
birthday?
That 18 or 19?
Not, definitely not 18, right?
That was 19, yeah.
Yeah.
You might be right. Yeah.
He didn't become world champion at 17. He became world champion at 18th world champion at 18. This was like a thing, right?
Yeah. Young, they're so young, ridiculous. Yeah, I think I checked his Prague's age. He's going to become 20 in like August or something like that. But so young. Aravind out of top 20, tough. Obviously, he's going to have to fight to overcome that. Nepo the same. Croatia, how do you expect this one to play out? We've seen some swings. I think last year was it last year when Magnus
didn't play last year. I won.
You won last year. So you're the defending champion.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So Magnus 9 out of 9, that was like 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. First day of Blitz 2 years ago.
No words, it seems.
Yeah. And he needed that because he was trailing way by a lot.
No. That was in like Poland or something. Like here, I shared first in Rapid with Jan.
Yeah.
I think we had 12 points. Magnus had 11. It was a 1 point difference. He didn't really need it.
So he, okay.
It was good, of course. It's good. Yeah. But he didn't need it. He had a great blitz. Second day of blitz was like +3. I mean, good, but. Yeah. But first day of blitz, 9 out of 9, yeah.
How do you see this one play out? It feels like, obviously, all these tournaments are kind of meshing together in my mind right now, but it does feel like every single time we have some sort of a race, especially here in Croatia. How do you see this one playing out?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Magnus is a favorite. We obviously, that's not too controversial to say that.
You have to defend.
Yeah, of course, I'm going to try it. I mean, I'm not thinking too much about like winning the tournament or not, because I don't think about that before the tournament. Especially in Rapid and Blitz, you kind of should go with the flow, I think. In Classical, you can think, okay, some strategy, like who's vulnerable, who's not, colors and so on. Rapid and Blitz, it's just, you hope that you have a good Rapid, then you put yourself in a good position if you're playing Blitz well, and then you fight, and then it comes down to the last few rounds.
Yeah, the Blitz.
Every once in a while, like last year, you know, just everything went perfectly. I won with 5 rounds to spare. Happens rarely. Same, like Magnus has had some 26-20 scores over 25 almost to always win. I think Wei got unlucky once. He scored 25 and a half. Magnus scored 26, something like that. This was Poland that you're thinking of. Poland maybe last year.
Yeah, I think he was leading by 3 points or something like that going into the final one, final day.
Who, Wei?
Wei, yeah.
Is it even 3 points?
I think it was close to 3 points.
Of course, Magnus can be very clutch in these last blitz games. So it often comes down to the last blitz day. That's normal. I've had some disappointing final few rounds sometimes. Go from like a good placement to middle of the pack or something. And sometimes things just work out at the end, like St. Louis Rapid and Blitz 1 year, 2023. It's like last few rounds, just even though I lost a game, somehow everything works out and I got clear first.
Yeah.
Sometimes here 2 years ago was disappointing. I had like good Rapid sharing first. Blitz was going okay, you know, up and down, but still I'm in a good position to fight for something. And then I just, like, the last 3 rounds, things just all fall apart, and I go from, like, clear second to fourth. And that was a disappointing one.
Yeah, I remember that one. I see the logo. Team Liquid, you guys added another player, Prague.
Yeah, Prague joined.
It's kind of ridiculous. Magnus, you and Prague. That's a good team.
That's a pretty good team. Yeah, I understand why Team Liquid wants to.
They really want to win this one.
I don't even think it's necessarily this one. I think they're also looking towards the future. Mm. Because this one, okay, Prague will probably play the last chance qualifier. And he has a good chance to qualify from that, I think, although I don't know the exact format.
But he can also go to Riyadh if he doesn't qualify through this one. He can go to Riyadh.
Riyadh is the last chance qualifier.
Ah, there's no more chance to come.
No, that's all done.
That's it.
It's like 12 players have made it so far. Magnus, Hikaru, Jan Nepomniachtchi, Maxime, Duda, Arjun. Maxime, that's six, right? I said Maxime, Duda, Arjun, me.
Norderbeck?
Fedosev. Norderbeck, definitely Norderbeck. I don't know if I can't count. Are we at 9 or what? I think we're at 9. I'm probably forgetting some like obvious ones.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't remember all of them.
But no Gukesh, although I don't think he'll try. No Prague current. Wait, actually, maybe Prague did make it? I don't know. Did he make it yet?
I don't think he did.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he did.
No Ding, no Hans.
But Hans will probably go to Riyadh.
Hans will probably do it.
Yeah.
I don't know
if he has a team. I don't know if he's going to go as part of a team, but I've heard Hans is going to go to Riyadh. Anish is going to go to Riyadh. I was just chatting with Anish. Okay. I was on the
Anish
same
will try,
flight
yeah.
with him.
Well, he's on a team, so the teams will expect the players.
They're sending people.
Yeah. If you're on a team, it's kind of expected you take every opportunity. You know, like you don't want to let them down. I would have done the same if I didn't make it. But for the players not on a team, I don't know about Ding. He's actually on a team, right?
I don't think he's going to try.
Ding does not seem super motivated to get back to shape, which I can understand. I mean, motivation can drop. But maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe he'll try to... I don't know. He can try to qualify for next candidate. It's interesting. World Cup, maybe.
He has a lot of points, right?
He's qualified to candidates twice from the World Cup. Second both times. Losing to Rajabov in 2019, losing to Levon in, I believe, 2017. Qualifying twice for the... So maybe the World Cup is his path.
Yeah.
It's possible. I won't count him out, but the chances aren't extraordinary, let's say.
Last but not least, we have talked about the Kramnik lawsuit.
So we can also get sued, or what?
No. Come on, we're not going to get sued. Hopefully, we're not going to get sued. But because we already talked about it, and the lawsuit is already in motion. Lost against chess.com, chessdom, and David Navarro, which was sort of the big surprise. Obviously, we sort of expected him to go after the corporations. But going after David for, I guess, defamation? Is that what he's suing Navarro for?
I think, I don't know.
He
exactly.
wrote a blog
I didn't
post.
Like read the... I saw there was some document. I didn't like read through it. Look, I understand. If he wants to take the fight to chess.com, actually, you know, guys, go for it. If you think they're wrong, I don't think it's a black and white issue. If you think that they're really wrong, then sure. I mean, it's his, you know, his right. You wouldn't say he's picking an easy target. He's going after, let's say he thinks that they're morally in the wrong here, then sure.
Yeah. You know?
I wouldn't say that he's wrong to do that. Maybe it's not the best decision. Maybe it's not the best way to go about it. But sure, it's an approach. You can definitely weigh the pros and cons, right? You can discuss it. I don't understand going after Navarro. I just don't get it.
Me neither.
He's, first of all, whatever he did, I mean, whether you think that he should have written it in that way or not.
He wrote a blog post.
He just wrote something. He just gave his opinion. I mean, he just gave his feelings.
If you can get sued for a blog post, this is...
But he also, he just gave his feelings. He didn't say, like, Kramnik is the devil. He just said, this is how I feel, and I think that he was wrong. Feels like we should be able to say these things, especially if those are... And I think he was speaking from the heart. Should be able to say things that we believe. And I don't think they were defamatory. I mean, he basically just said he was hurt, right?
Pretty much.
Which is probably genuine. I don't see why it wouldn't be. So, you know, maybe they can work it out between themselves or something, but like I don't understand.
It almost felt more critical towards Fide than to Kramnik.
Sure, yeah, maybe.
Because
maybe.
Fide was not answering.
Yeah, yeah.
This was
David's
post. This was his idea. Yeah. And Fide was not answering, and that made him hurt, basically.
And also, I don't understand it. Like, if Kramnik is going down this path, like, I think that Fide is more of a target for him than... Like, actually, I do think, like, Fide would be a more logical target for him to sue than one individual who has done nothing wrong, who poses no... like threat to him,
yeah.
Who's just a you know, nice, friendly guy who really shouldn't be involved in this whole thing at all. You know, like David shouldn't be involved in this. So I hope he withdraws David from the lawsuit. I think it's the best decision for everyone. I really would urge him to reconsider that. I don't really see what I mean. It just doesn't feel right to me. But if he wants to sue anyone else, I think that he should.
Look, I understand his worries. I understand that he's fighting a very significant problem that we have in the chess world, and we should probably bring those things to light. And he's one of the few that are trying to do that in a forceful manner. So that's good. That's a good thing.
I think it's sort of like, you know.
He gave some good examples recently.
Yeah, every actually. Once in a while he like throws some nugget out there.
Some good
that's,
examples.
That's absolutely
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
And I want to say like, yeah, you're absolutely right about this. But it's sort of like if I went and I, you know, shot 1,000 people. Like, definitely I will get a murderer.
Yeah.
I'll be like, well, I definitely got a murderer there. But, you know, that's not the approach. You don't just, like, go after all comers and then you're like, yeah, I'm right on these occasions. But he definitely does give examples sometimes of cheating that are he's 100% correct.
Yeah.
And I understand his frustration, but I'm like, I understand your frustration. I want to support the cause, but you can't really do it like this. You know, you have to go after the things that you're sure about and not like just out of the blue attack Navarra for some kind of petty difference in opinion or whatever it was, because he doesn't even think Navarra's cheating, like nobody does. So that, it's just out of some, like, it's a really petty thing, this one. It's not even strategic.
And he's the only player that Kramnik has sued, which is very strange. Like, he has
not
obviously
even
beef against a lot of these cheaters, but he's going to sue only Navarra. It just doesn't make too much sense.
You know, this one is just like, I really don't get it. I think that he really should just like back away from this. It's not even a fight. It's just pointless, and it also is harmful.
It's probably hurting his whole case also.
And it also hurts his case. Yeah, it's like, it's such a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then I think like the cheating thing, you know, I'm ready to talk about it. Like, I think it's a valuable discussion to be had if we can keep. If we can just keep to the essential points, which is that it's a problem, and there are definitely good examples, but not this one.
Well, the thing is, I feel he goes very deep on these numbers analysis, which are very difficult to digest for a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of them are also wrong, because obviously you're not going to be able to be perfect with those amounts of numbers. But what he does well, and what he did recently well, is starting to point out people that stop playing, which is, in my opinion, a much more clear example. Obviously, I'm not going to say that they were cheaters, but if you're going to stop playing money events after you've been playing money events and winning money for like years, and then you suddenly stop and never play again, that's an obvious indication that something went wrong. And this is the way Chess.com used to go about it. I don't know how they go about it right now, but this is the way they used to go about it. They were giving you second chances. Like, if you say, they give you an email saying, we have a right to believe that you've been cheating, and you can acknowledge the fact that you've been cheating, then we will give you a second chance. A second account, not the same account, second account. And we won't tell anybody. You can play again in 6 months. I don't know if they still do that, but
yeah, I think
that's a clear indication that something went wrong when you stop playing.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I mean, you understand, and I understand, and everyone understands that it's really weird if someone just stops playing. On the other hand, we can't possibly accuse someone of that because
you cannot.
Maybe they got sick. Maybe they quit chess. Like, we can't do that, right? It's just impossible to do it like that. We understand it's weird, but we can't say it. Which is why the burden kind of falls on chess.com. They need to be more transparent.
Yes.
They need to just say if someone was caught cheating.
Yes.
And honestly, at this point, I think they just need to ban permanently.
Yeah.
And I understand second chance. It's very nice. Second chance, third chance. It's all very nice to give people second chances. I don't think if you've been caught cheating, I really think that they should just like IP ban you for everyone. Everyone who, and then like you take a really hard stance. And then you try to defend it. If people go after you in court or whatever, you have to be ready. It's a responsibility as a chess website, definitely the biggest chess website that puts money into chess, that if you're sure that someone's cheating, that you ban them publicly and then you never let them play on your website again. And then I think that we would actually make progress in terms of like some sort of, people would suddenly agree. You know, there would be some common ground between people who are currently in massive disagreement. And that's also where the frustration comes in, because it's like, let's say I see some guy, some FM, who beat me like 3 times. I'm not even making up an example, this is just something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just disappear from the website or from like prize events. And nobody ever knew, like, of course, you know, maybe I understand, you understand, what's happening. But where's my closure, right? This is what's really frustrating, and probably also what drove Kramnik to his extreme lengths, which are far too extreme at this point, like very obviously far too extreme. So chess.com should take a hard stance, I think. They already should have in the past. I don't know, like, why... It's like, okay, maybe it's too harsh. And maybe for some kids, you know, you can be more lenient. You know, kids can make mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. But in general, people know cheating is bad. So why give them a second chance in general? Do sports really give second chances when it's like...
Blatant? They sort of do. They give you a suspension for like X number of years or months or whatever. And then you're basically back.
For cheating or for what?
For steroid use, yeah, which is more or less cheating. I don't know. It's different, but you might be thinking about it.
Yeah. I still think it's cheating, but it's different.
In chess, you basically cannot lose. Like, once you cheat, you cannot lose. In sports, you can still lose.
Yeah, of course. If I take steroids, I'm not going to be good at any sport.
Right.
I mean, I'll probably put on some
you
muscle.
You get a huge advantage.
Yeah, if you're an elite athlete. Yes. Sure.
Yes. And you should get banned up to a certain number of months, years. But in chess, you pretty much become God when
you cheat. Look, I mean, I could also be wrong. I'm not going to say my take that they should ban permanently is correct. But at this point, I don't know what else you can do. Like, their approach does not seem like the best one to me. Let's put it
last one, and let's keep it short because we are just about to have the players' meeting in this room. And we're getting more or less set up for that. Freestyle chess, Paris. The field is more or less...
Not Paris. Vegas.
Vegas. Paris. Vegas.
Yeah, Paris is...
The field is more or less finalized. And we have a couple of intriguing situations. Hans qualified first time. Congratulations to him. And we have the first woman to participate in freestyle chess, Bibi Sara. Your take on both of those options. Let's start with Hans and his path to qualification. Did you follow?
Yeah, I was watching. It was pretty interesting. It was a good run that he had. Very difficult to qualify from that method. So
yeah,
very good run. Beat Lazovic in the last one. Last match, it was close. Beat Yuengyi. That's where he was in most danger, I think. Just Yuengyi needed a draw at some point. Didn't make it. And then in Blitz, still kind of close. But yeah, I mean, it's a very good run. You know, you have to beat a lot of top players.
Yeah.
A lot of 2,700 players to make it. I think the organizers are happy. You know,
probably
probably fans are happy.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see him in Vegas. But he hasn't really played any over-the-board events since Aeroflot, or like not counting the Dubov matches. I think maybe Aeroflot was last. So it's been an extended break of over-the-board chess. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, he definitely had a very good... Anyone would be proud to qualify from that method.
And Bibi Sara. There was some controversy with Bibi Sara also. You saw that, right? With her photo.
The thing is, I don't consider it controversy.
It's ridiculous,
I don't consider it controversy, but I saw the controversy, yeah.
Yeah,
the thing is, like, I'm so anti-hype that people are starting to catch on, and I need to stop. I need to hype things up. I need to be more... But, you know, she is a very good player. I think she's underrated. She's very dangerous. I think
she had a tough game against her in
I might also be like biased because I was losing against her. So of course you have those feelings like, okay, I'm playing against someone who's very underrated, but of course it's one game, you can't draw too many conclusions. But I do feel like she has a lot of skills. Like, she has a good feeling, calculates well, is a good Blitz player. I think she's been Blitz World Champion twice, maybe. I might be wrong on that, but I think so.
Was it Rapid or Blitz?
Blitz, I think.
Blitz, yeah.
So she's definitely a very good player. She will be a serious underdog.
Yeah.
Of course, like very serious underdog. I mean, these are two things which they don't, they're not mutually exclusive, right? She is a very good player. She will also be a very serious underdog. She's playing against top players. She is an underdog against every player in the field.
Yeah.
So I hope she does well. I can't say I hope that I'm playing the tournament, but
yeah.
I do think that she'll struggle a lot, and To be honest, I don't even know the exact format of the tournament. It's too complicated for me. So I
we'll talk about it in the next one.
Because I just like find out when I get there. You know? But you know, it's going to be a good experience for her. Learning experience.
One of the things that I think she's very good at, she doesn't get intimidated, or at least it doesn't feel like she gets intimidated by playing stronger opponents. Like she brings the fight to everybody. And that seems to be something that's in her nature as well, which is extremely important, especially as an underdog. So yeah, that's going to be interesting. All right, here you have it, guys. I think we're pretty much done with this one. Tomorrow it starts. Grand Chess Tour, Croatia, Zagreb, Magnus's favorite city. That's what he says all the time.
He does say that.
I don't know why, but it should be fun.
He just likes it.
He just likes it. He just likes Zagreb. It should be fun. Tune in. I will be doing commentary on the St. Louis YouTube channel, and that's going to be broadcasted on Twitter as well, I would assume, Facebook, X.
St. Louis Chess Club.
St. Louis Chess Club YouTube channel. That's the main one. Tune in, and it should be fun. It will be fun, for sure. Anyway, until next time, don't forget, like, subscribe, and let us know what you think about these topics and this format of conversation, and we will be seeing you in the next one. Cheers.